Good morning, and welcome to your wake-up call. I'm Tana Hartman. I'm the host today for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Our engineer is Dick Paddock, and our guest today is Pete McDowell. He is program director for NCWARN, that's NC Waste Awareness and Reduction Network. Welcome, Pete.
Hi, Tana.
All right, in the interest of full disclosure, Pete and I are old buddies. We've made a pact to go to each other's funerals.
That's friendship.
Yes. What are you working on right now with NCWARN? A little while back, we had Jim Warren came in and talked to us about Warren, and we touched on Cliffside. Now, I know Cliffside is still a hot button issue.
Hotter every day.
Yeah. What? Okay. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Cliffside, and then we're going to talk about NC Saves and about the stimulus package.
Yes. Let me put all of what we do, and certainly Cliffside, in perspective. To maintain our climate at roughly what we have evolved to live in, which is the level of carbon dioxide equivalents in the atmosphere is about 300, needs to be about 350 parts per million. We're at 387 parts per million. We are beyond the tipping point, or the sustainability point. And people like Dr. Jim Hansen of NASA, probably the foremost climatologist in the country, says maybe we've got 6 years to start reversing the path. Others say 10. Others say somewhere around there. We don't know, but it's real damn short. And so the question is, how do we do that? Well, you have to start by looking at what's the number one culprit, and that's coal plants. Coal belches out about 30% of the carbon dioxide. Coal plants put out about 30% of the carbon dioxide in the U.S. And one coal plant, like the one that Duke Energy is building right now at Cliffside, which is about 60 miles west of Charlotte, put out the equivalent of 1 million cars. So it makes absolutely no sense to be building new coal plants at this point. It is environmental, you know, Cliffside is environmental suicide, and we have got to stop it. And we're part of a large coalition of groups, from faith groups like Interfaith Power and Light, which is part of the Council of Churches, to student groups like the Southern Energy Network, App Voices, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and
App Voices, that's Appalachian.
Appalachian Voices, okay. And a number of others who have been organizing to stop Cliffside. There's been a huge environmental, a legal push. And what has just happened, very unfortunately, is that Governor Perdue's Division of Air Quality has ruled that the Cliffside is supposedly a minor source of toxic air emissions like mercury. And that is, it strains credibility in the extreme, but you know, you have to understand that the administration of Easley before and Beverly Perdue this time, especially the Division of Air Quality, have been in bed with Duke and utilities generally for a long time. So we're fighting the legal front with a number of allies like the Sierra Club and so on, but we're also going into direct action. So on April the 20th in Charlotte, there will be a major, what we call a call to conscience, direct action, nonviolent civil disobedience at the Duke headquarters in downtown Charlotte. We'll have start nonviolent training on Sunday. On Sunday night, that's the 19th. We'll have major speakers and music in Charlotte, and then we will march to the headquarters at Duke around noon. So that is this is the second step in what is really a national movement, direct action, nonviolent civil disobedience, to shut down coal plants. A few weekends ago, there were 12,000 students at the Power Shift Conference in D.C. There were 530 from North Carolina. And on Monday, they not only lobbied Monday morning in the Congress, but about 3,000 of those who could stay over shut down the D.C. coal plant. There is a coal plant right next to the Capitol that supplies the government buildings and with steam. And a couple of days before the demonstration, it was interesting that Nancy Pelosi and Senator Reid announced that they were going to change that coal plant finally to natural gas, which isn't the great solution, but it's better.
It's better than right. Coal. Well, what about all this we hear about, certainly on TV, about clean coal technology?
One of the great chants at that demonstration was leprechauns, unicorns, clean coal, leprechauns. It's a total myth.
Yes.
Coal is not clean. That technology is not commercially available anywhere. It's not being used anywhere. This is the notion of sequestering carbon dioxide by injecting it into the ground. One thing for sure, you can't do it in North Carolina. One of the reasons they have trouble making a demonstration plant is there's liability issues if it doesn't stay in the ground. You know, it comes up, it suffocates the the people around it with an invisible gas.
It's like for little things like greenhouse gases, mercury emissions, air pollution, water, etc.
What are the problems? I don't know what the problem is.
Well, also economically, I mean, it seems to be a bit of a boondoggle.
Yes, we're talking about a $2.8 billion plant, and there are a whole lot easier ways to deal with meeting the demand for electricity. But before I go off of cliffside, let me say that people who are interested in joining that demonstration, and you don't have to, most people there will probably not volunteer for getting arrested, and there will be, you know, only those who volunteer will be in the civil disobedience part, and that will be a very well-planned piece of the action. We're doing this with a lot of veterans of civil disobedience, like Rainforest Action Network and Greenpeace. I mean, this is really a national mobilization on Cliffside. But they should go to the Stop Cliffside website, www.stopcliffside.org, and see the details. RSVP that you're coming. We'll help you arrange ride pools. There'll be a number of people coming from this area. We hope you can join us. This is the climate is our future, and we really need it.
Yeah, we sort of do. It's one of those things we can't live without. And that's April 20th.
Yes.
And, okay, and it's www.stopcliffside.org.
Yes.
Okay. NC Saves. What is NC Saves?
It's called NC Saves Energy. Again, with a perspective, to make the energy transition from dumb to smart in this country, you have to stop the dumb, which number one is coal, number two is nuclear power. We have got to stop new nukes. A new reactor now is going for somewhere between $7 to $12 billion apiece, and that is an enormous waste of resources that could be for much less money for consumers. We could meet that demand for electricity. There's not an increasing demand for electricity, especially when you factor in the potential for energy efficiency. But as people know, I think Progress Energy is trying to build two new reactors at Sharon Harris plant just south of Raleigh. Duke Energy is trying to build two new reactors just south of Charlotte. It's actually in South Carolina, but it serves North Carolina and South Carolina. All told, when you look at Cliffside and potentially four new nukes, you're looking at $40 or $50 billion of new plant construction. That will average, according to our calculations, for the average household about $12,500 a year. I'm sorry, over the next 10 years per family. Think of what you could do for energy efficiency, for renewable energy in your household if you had $12,500 to spend. You could do a real good job weatherizing. You could have solar hot water. You could probably, in some cases, begin to have a photovoltaic. There's enormous kinds of things you could do, and that would create thousands of more jobs than you would have at nuclear or coal plants. So to get to the perspective to NC Saves Energy, what we've got to do is not do the dumb things and start doing the smart things. And the smart things are energy efficiency and renewable energy. And energy efficiency is really the low-hanging fruit here. This is by far the cheapest way to meet the need for new energy. If we just stop basically running our society with the windows open
Yeah, I want you to explain a little more here.
our buildings are so energy inefficient that we're doing the equivalent of running our buildings, our homes, with the windows open in the cold. It first you close the windows, you weatherize the house, you do the kinds of energy, low cost energy efficiency kinds of things that can save an enormous amount of energy and make new plants totally unnecessary. And you can start with enough energy efficiency, with stepping up renewables, with more use of what's called cogeneration, in which plants, industrial plants, and so on, use the heat from their processes as well as generate electricity off of it. With very modest programs, you could start phasing out coal plants, and. So what we need to do is have a way to do the energy efficiency and to fund the energy efficiency work. I mean, we all would like to spend less on our energy bills. The question is how we're going to pay for it. How do we get the weatherization done? How do we get low interest loans to do it? We're all strapped for money right now. We really don't want to pay the kind of rate increases that Progress and Duke are going to want for building their new plants. So the answer is, let's get energy efficiency, get energy efficient. Happily, Obama's plan for the stimulus package is going to bring down millions of dollars for North Carolina for about a two-year period to hire people to do energy efficiency work, creating a whole lot of green jobs. That's great. That's for 2 years. The question is, what's going to be there after that 2 years is over? That's where NC Saves Energy comes in. That's a bill about to be introduced, we hope, next week in the North Carolina House. And it's a bill that basically creates an independent program with an independent board that collects money from a small surcharge on utility bills, the equivalent of about $1.70 a month for households, and generates
much less than a cup of coffee.
Much less than a cup of coffee. You get two. You could get 2 months of that for one Starbucks. Yeah, think about that. Well, maybe three. but it would generate millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars worth of money for weatherization programs aimed at low and moderate income residential and some institutional like schools and hospitals.
Well, I want you to tell me more about that. Right now I need to take a break.
Sure.
And make announcements, but I really would like to know more about how this is supposed to work, how it would be managed and monitored.
Gotcha.
Because there are lots of great plans that seem to float around out there, but how they're actually managed, realized, monitored is a big question. Just want to let you know, our sponsor today, our underwriter, is Internationalist Books at 405 West Franklin Street. Go to their website at internationalistbooks.org. They're a great community resource. We are TriangleWilf.org. We are the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And again, the website is TriangleWilf.org. And we are coming to you from WCOM, your voice in the community. This is your radio station, not some corporate radio station. We depend on you. We're all volunteer. And check us out at communityradio.coop. Actually, it's now carboroughradio.coop. There's a new website, I believe. At least I found one when I was searching the other day. Also want to announce that there is a benefit and auction on behalf of the Moncure Plywood Workers. That is going to be April 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. at the General Store in Pittsboro. It's $15 for a baked chicken dinner with entertainment. The Raging Grannies will be singing, the Moncure Strikers Chorus, and the auction will be run by Gary Phillips, a locally known auctioneer. Contact Dick Paddock at 919-260-6848 or Barb Alotis at 919-444-1406. That's April 1st, benefit and auction on behalf of the Moncure Plywood Workers. And I know you guys have heard a lot about them from us, and they still need our help, so turn out. Next thing. On April 8th, Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Is coming to talk to us. Breaking the Sound Barrier, Democracy Now!'s 13th anniversary tour celebrating independent media is taking place Wednesday, April 8th at the Eno River Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Durham. For more information or to purchase tickets, you can contact me, Tana Hartman, at 919-619-6546 or email me at tmhartman@nc.rr.com. Again, Amy Goodman. For $50, you can get you'll attend a reception with Amy. There'll be a book signing. You'll get a signed copy of her book, Great Food, that is prepared by local food icon Vimala Rajendran. And then you'll get to hear Amy speak about the new book, Standing Up to the Madness, that she and her brother David have put together. It's talking about local heroes who have learned that the only way to make things better is to become informed and get active. So come find out what other ordinary heroes are doing in these extraordinary times. That's April 8th at the Eno River Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Durham. Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! And we're back with Pete McDowell. I'm Tana Hartman, and you're listening to your Wilf Wake-Up Call. Pete, you need to take a drink. I do in a minute. All right, back to this. We were talking about the stimulus package and, ways we can actually turn this train around.
So the NC Saves Energy Bill, as I said, will in all likelihood be introduced in the North Carolina House next week. It sets up an independent body to run a statewide energy program with three main goals. One is to help control energy costs for low and moderate income families. Second is to reduce carbon emissions by cutting or eliminating the need for coal and coal and nuke plants. And third is to create thousands of green jobs, especially for low and moderate income people. So it has great virtues. The key here is this is based on a model that's been used in six other states, New York, Oregon, Vermont, lots of other places. The key is that it's independent, and independent means independent of the utilities. The utilities do not have a they have a clear conflict of interest when it comes to energy efficiency. They exist. They have basically two ways to make profits. They make a profit on the basis of their invested assets, their plants, transmission lines, and all that sort of thing. They get a percentage of that, and they, of course, make profits by selling more electricity. So obviously, it makes absolutely no sense for them to be cutting electricity use. So why would they want energy efficiency? Hell, run your house with the windows open. We're for it. So that's why a energy efficiency program has to be independent of them. So the way the bill will work is that a standalone program or one connected with a with an existing government, government agency, perhaps would have a board appointed by five members would be from appointed by the Utilities Commission, two from the governor, two from the Speaker of the House, two from the President of the Senate. They would serve, and then there would be an advisory committee over that, which would be largely groups such as the NAACP and other groups that are very anchored in the community. The people on the board would have to be experts in things like low-income housing and that sort of thing. There are a lot of criteria so that the board does not, you know, that you can't work for a utility, have worked for a utility, or plan to work for a utility in the near future to be on this board. And it would be strict monitoring of the effectiveness of the program, of the monies. That's all built into the bill, and there's a way for low-income people to have a way of opting out if they can't afford dollar seventy a month, yeah. Which is the average, which would be the average surcharge.
Yeah. Hard to imagine though that there couldn't be some sort of help or assistance to help them $170 a month.
Yeah, they could just if they are part of a of an existing federal program for low-income people, they can essentially opt out.
Well, how would all this be funded, though? I mean,
it's funded by that surcharge on the utility bills. It could take other monies from. It could get monies once there's a recovery from the state budget, or from federal monies or from grants. There's other ways it could get money, but the core money is the surcharge. So a lot of surcharges on our utility bills right now for advanced energy, which is a small energy efficiency program, and for a number of other things. So this is how we finance these kinds of things.
And there are models that actually are working in existence.
They're saving people a whole lot of money, and they're cutting energy use in other states, yes. I mean, this is tried and true.
Okay, great. And again, these would be targeted toward low and moderate income.
Right.
And toward
creating green jobs. Right.
Creating green jobs, investing in energy efficiency.
Right.
And And you have a whole lot of groups behind this.
We have 28 groups right now. It's growing every day.
These aren't little groups. These are big groups.
They're big groups. They're little groups. But most of them are big groups. I mean, for example, the NAACP, the Justice Center. They're social justice groups. They are environmental groups. There are all kinds of groups, church groups, all kinds of groups, some business, small business groups, all sorts of groups are behind us, growing every day. This is a movement.
Good, good. Yeah, I know people are finally really waking up to the serious threat,
right.
You know, that our current policies pose, and, you know, energy policies in particular to our climate. Go ahead. Let's talk quickly, because we're going to have to wrap up, about the stimulus.
Right. It was just announced yesterday that about $58 million dollars are coming down to North Carolina as part of the stimulus package for looking at energy efficiency. And this is great. There'll be other more money than that coming down for beefing up weatherization programs for very low income people. This is great. But as we've seen all too often, for example, in Katrina, you can have lots of federal money come down a pike, mm-hmm. as it did to New Orleans, but darn little of it sort of gets to the Ninth Ward where the flooding was and the low-income people live. So we're part of, NC Warren is part of Grassroots Energy Alliance with the Interfaith Power and Light, NC Fair Share, and North Carolina Central University's Environment Department, for example. And we're part of what's called the Black, Brown, Green Alliance in Durham, which is pushing for green jobs, particularly for low-income and at-risk folks. And the Black, Brown, Green Alliance on April 16th at Central University will be holding a forum on the stimulus package and creating a just green economy in Durham. How do we get money for the right priorities? And that's going to be the key question on the stimulus package money.
Tell folks that again, the date.
It's April 16th. It's at the Miller Morgan Auditorium at North Carolina Central University. It's from 6:30 to 9:30. And the title is The Stimulus Package and Creating a Just Green Economy in Durham. How do we get the money for the right priorities? And if you're in Carrboro, come anyway. The same question applies. How do we get the money
yes.
for the right priorities?
This is one of those things that affects all of us. There
yes.
are no people who are exempt.
Right.
So, Pete, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, WCOM. Thank you, Wolf.
Yes, all great organizations. What else do I need to say besides just our wrap-up? Okay, we are WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro, your local volunteer radio station. Stay tuned for Amy Goodman and join us again next week.